Hey everyone, I'm Jaden.
And I'm Noah.
And we are the Super Gamer Bros. And this is the Super Gamer Bros podcast. We are just a couple of brothers who love playing games and love talking about games. So that's what we do. Are you excited, Noah?
I am excited
You
to talk
should
about
be
the games I
excited.
picked.
Yeah, you should be excited. Because today, everybody, we are this is doing something very well. First off, let's just say this is our 2-year anniversary. The day this episode comes out,
Yay.
we have been doing this podcast for 2 years. Can you believe it? I can't. Anyway, yeah, 2 years. Awesome. Go us. So to celebrate us getting that 2-year milestone, we've decided, mainly I decided, and Noah just kind of went along with it, that we were going to do what we are calling the SGB Awards. So for all those people wondering what the SGB Awards are, basically it's this award show where Noah and I look back upon the last year of our podcast, what we You know, all the games we've talked about in this past year, and we look at this list and we decide our favorite games in a number of categories. And yeah, that's it. I don't know, anything to add, Noah?
Oh, no, that's pretty good. Just excited to talk about the games.
Yeah, so do want to stress this is not games that have released in the past year, you know, from October 2021 to 2020 to October 2022. It is literally games that we talked about, whether that game was released in 2021, 2004, 1996, that doesn't matter. It's just games we talked about in this past year, which I think is very fun because of the fact that it is such a wide, you know, we talk about a
Right.
lot of games for a lot of different years
Right. Those
and
award
everything.
shows that come out every year, they're only about the games that year, right? So it's really a closed judging most of the time. And this, it was really fun to think about, like, oh, do I like Pokemon Fire Red or Taz Wanted better for this? You know, that's a weird combination.
Also, you know, before we get into everything, I do just want to say, in terms of this award show, as I put in quotes there, this as well is just our opinions. I specifically, you'll see, as Noah, you probably saw when you were ma when you were select making your selections, our award categories aren't, you know, best game, best music, anything like that. It's fav I put it specifically to say like favorite music, favorite game, because these are all games we like. That's the whole point of our podcast, is talking about stuff we like. And also, it's something that I don't know, because I'm obviously know kind of all the thought behind the episodes and making the podcasts. I don't have necessarily outsider's perspective, you know, someone who doesn't know who we are and listens to it, is I never wanted to come across as video game critics or video game reviewers. Because, you know, we're not that, especially in terms of, you know, more technical aspects of games. I really just look at, you know, is a game fun? Is a game not fun? And maybe think like, well, what did I like? What didn't I like? You know, and I'm sure, Noah, you kind of look at it the same way. So this show isn't us deciding what we think is the best game or the best, you know, story of all these games we talked about. It is what is our personal favorite. Even the awards themselves, it'll be, you know, I have my picks for winner and runner up. Noah has his picks for winner and runner up. And we didn't talk to each other about it beforehand. We didn't come together to make a consensus of we think, you know, this is the best, because it is just, you know, our opinions. And, you know, if you guys agree with one or both of us, that's awesome. If you don't, that's also awesome. I just love hearing people's opinions and their thoughts, reasons behind those opinions. And, you know, that's all we're doing here is just sharing our opinions. And yeah, Noah.
That's pretty good. I did want to mention that I only picked one game per award. Like,
Yes,
as in, a game can only get one award for me.
no, I understand that. I did not do that, but honestly, I feel like I probably, you know, when we do our awards next year, I think I will do that, because I think, you know, it's just celebrating games. That's all I want our podcast to be, is just, hey
Right.
guys, games are awesome. Let's talk about games, you know? So yeah, we're gonna go ahead and get into it. First of all, you know, we talked about a lot of games this year. Gonna I certainly, before making this document, didn't remember all the games we had talked about. I doubt you did, Noah. If you're our listeners, you probably don't remember either. So we're going to go ahead and just quickly, as fast as we can, go through a list of those games, so you can, have them fresh in your mind as we talk about them throughout the episode. Go ahead. We'll go ahead, go back and forth, Noah. Outlast,
Has Wanted,
Deathloop,
Batman Arkham Knight,
Horizon Zero Dawn,
Spyro Reignited Trilogy,
Portal 2,
Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice,
Mad Max,
Days Gone,
God of War 2005,
The Force Unleashed,
Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green,
GTA 5,
The Order 1886,
Lego Batman,
Sonic Heroes,
Modern Warfare Trilogy,
Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe,
Toy Story 3,
Assassin's Creed 3,
Far Cry 2,
Skyrim,
Layers of Fear,
Shovel Knight,
Bugsnax,
Typo Man,
Projection, First Light,
Overcooked,
Trover Saves the Universe,
Hotline Miami,
Guacamelee,
The Unfinished Swan,
The Witness,
Ace Attorney Trilogy,
A Way Out,
Parappa the Rapper 2,
Hades,
Abzu,
This is the Police,
The Artful Escape,
Stray,
Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons,
Valiant Hearts,
Thomas Was Alone,
Trine.
and Astro's Playroom, which was the indie bit in our PS5 special we did, PlayStation
Yeah,
5 special.
spoiler alert, it's not going to win any awards.
Ouch. Ouch, man. That's harsh. Harsh. That was a great game.
I'd put money
Great
on
tech demo. Great
it.
tech demo. Anyway, so that's the list. So now we'll go ahead and get into the awards. First, we'll start off with Cool Lore. It's awards for games that we just thought the lore was, really cool. The kind of backup, background information about the world, the history, all that stuff. Cool lore. Noah, why don't you start with your runner-up?
Okay, so my runner-up was actually The Artful Escape. And I picked The Artful Escape because I was really interested in the story and the background, learning about the previous, oh, what is it, Master of the Universe? What do they call them?
I don't remember. I know
They have
Lightman was the
Lightman is
guy.
his name,
Yeah,
but
I
he
can't
had like a
remember.
title.
Yeah, I can't remember what
Yeah, I
that
can't
title
remember what
is.
it is. But you also learn about all these strange creatures and these worlds and how they tie into music, and you interact with them, and it all ends up with the character becoming basically what Lightman was. And to me, I was like, the lore here is what's really interesting. I would love to play a fully fleshed out rhythm game based off of something like that, much deeper, but I think something's there.
I get you. The Artful Escape is really interesting. My runner-up is Skyrim. This was literally the episode we just did before this one. So it's pretty fresh. But the lore of Skyrim, I think, is one of the best aspects of the game. It is deep. It is interesting. I really wanted to learn more. It certainly kept me hooked through most of the journey, and it's just great. I absolutely just love the lore of Skyrim a lot more than I expected as a as some people might call me an Elder Scrolls hater, really not a fan of the series, but I do think the lore is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I'm a fan of the series, but I don't understand the lore at all.
Well, Noah, then why don't you go ahead with your winner for cool lore?
My winner is The Order 1886. And for those who listened to our episode, they would know that Jaden and I actually had a surprising reaction to this game. We both came away with positive, mostly positive reviews. I say reviews, but we typically enjoyed the game. It has a fantastic story that covers one of my favorite genres that's almost never touched in games or media, which is steampunk. It also brings in lycan and vampire, kind of like supernatural monster mythology elements, and ties that into an ancient order of protectors. So, like I said, for The Artful Escape, I'm like, something is here. I just wish the combat was deeper. I wish the game was longer, and I wish it had a sequel.
No, I absolutely agree with everything you said. It was certainly a surprisingly good game to me, and I do think the lore of it is a big, big part of that. My winner is Horizon Zero Dawn. Horizon Zero Dawn, it's one of those post-apocalyptic games, and there are, dozens of those, seen that same kind of trope many, many, many times. But
It is a
I,
great setup for a game, to be fair.
yeah, no, it's good. It's good. And of all of the kind of post-apocalyptic games I have played, I think Horizon Zero Dawn at 100% is the best setup for that post-apocalyptic world I've ever seen, where, literally all life on Earth from, humans to vegetation is being destroyed by these robots, and humanity is extinct, doomed 100%. So then a bunch of scientists, the smartest people in the world, get together and they create this AI to shut down the robots and slowly over hundreds and hundreds of years rebuild the Earth and have this new species of humans. New generation, I guess. Yeah, I thought that was awesome. There's a lot that I loved about Horizon Zero Dawn, but I still think the kind of setup background to the game is the best aspect of that game. It is absolutely incredible, 100%.
Yeah, and Forbidden West too, right?
Well, I mean, of course, but
But you haven't played it.
well, we haven't talked. Well, yeah, we haven't talked about it either, so it's
No, I
not even in
haven't played
this.
it either. No, it's not in this, but I'm just,
Yeah.
yeah, no, I completely agree that Horizon Zero Dawn has the most realistic post-apocalyptic dystopian future that I've ever seen. Also, it's incredibly deep. Like, they cover so much detail on what happened in the past and in the time in between, all the way up to Aloy and what happened with her and why she's there. They
Yeah, 100%.
cover pretty much everything in the first game.
Yeah,
So,
that it
I'm amazed.
legitimately, I mean, legitimately, it's a reason that I have not played Horizon Forbidden West yet is because I already know about that. I just am like, I don't know what they could reveal
Yeah, what
in the
mystery is
second game
left?
that could, yeah, equal that, you know. That's something that legitimately prevents me from playing that one. Anyway, yeah, that's cool lore. We'll go ahead and move on to our next award. Interesting concept. So this award basically means a game that had, a kind of background concept being like a main concept, main idea being maybe a focused around a unique mechanic or, just something that we thought was
Just
really
something that made
cool.
it stand out.
Yeah, something that made it stand out. And I say even if the execution of that concept was not entirely successful, I think the concept itself can be, a winner. And just to kind of show what I mean with that, my runner-up for interesting concept, Projection First Light. Projection First Light, it is a shadow puppet style. The actual, like, the art, the background, everything is shadow puppets. The gameplay focuses around the mechanic of you control this light that interacts with the world, making shadows that your character can then platform on. And all of that, awesome. I thought it was so cool. I saw a screenshot, watched a 30-second trailer, and bought the game. I was sold. Such a unique concept, something I've literally never seen before. And, unfortunately, I think in practice it didn't work as well as it could have, specifically using the light to control the shadows, especially if you had to interact with objects in the environment, like with your light and shadows. I find that that did not work very well at all. And also, I actually did research on shadow puppet theater after playing this game because there is no dialogue in the game. There's no narration, no spoken dialogue between characters, nothing, which I honestly thought made it a little boring. And I did look it up because I'll say it is true because shadow puppetry typically does not have narration with it, which I had always assumed it did growing up. So I'm like, I have to give them points for being true to, the style, but I do think some narration would have helped in there. But either way, I thought it was a very good concept.
Interesting. My runner-up for best concept was Portal 2.
Okay.
Portal 2 comes in as my runner-up because, yes, the portal function is cool, right? It's a great concept, very unique, and one of the only games that has that. But Portal 2 does not add that much to Portal 1's puzzle mechanics, in my opinion. After having played both, I played 2 first and then 1, so it was kind of like regressive at that point, obviously. But to me, I always thought that the portal mechanic has infinite possibilities in the puzzles you can create, and the different types of puzzles that were in the game were just a little limited, in my opinion. And that's just what holds it back, is I think that there's a lot more potential for the portal mechanic that these games just limit it.
I get what you're saying. I do think the Portal series, yeah, the Portal gun obviously is a very interesting concept. It was not, however, enough to get my winner for interesting concept. And the winner for me, interesting concept, is Bugsnax. I first heard about this game, when it was a PlayStation Plus game. It was, I think, the first PlayStation Plus game on for the PlayStation 5. And even though I didn't have a PlayStation 5 at the time, I added it to our library. So when I got a PS5, it would just be, more games for me to play. And I watched it in the kind of Muppet characters and the like food that has eyes and you catch the food like Pokemon almost. I thought this is the silliest thing I've ever seen, and I love it. It's just such a cool concept. The game is great and 100% lives up to the silliness and zaniness of catching food with googly eyes, but I just thought it was the coolest, one of the coolest concepts I've seen in recent games.
It's hilarious, without a doubt. Fabulous. But not my winner. My winner for best concept is the Ace Attorney Trilogy. The Ace Attorney Trilogy is a game series that I don't know. I was just inspired to buy it. And I'd seen footage of it on YouTube for years, but never exactly knew what it was. So after I bought it, I was like, okay, I spent money on it, so now I have to play it. And I got into it. It's a game where you play as a lawyer, a defense attorney, and you are basically solving crimes and proving people guilty and innocent in court cases. At the same time, it tells an overarching story over each game and over the three games. It's fantastically done. I believe you also have high opinions of it.
Oh, absolutely. It is absolutely one of my I would just straight up favorite games of all time.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of another single game where you play as an attorney. And I just thought it was hilarious. You know, it's really fun when you're looking at the clues and you're like, they're asking you a question like, how can you prove that he was there at this time? And you have like a hat and a quarter. And you're like, I know one of these has the answer.
Yeah, no, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I love Ace Attorney. It's a great game. All right, so now we're going to move on to the next category, favorite visuals, graphics, art style, kind of anything kind of all encompassing with that one. Noah, you're runner up for favorite visuals.
You might find this interesting, but about out of all places, the runner-up for favorite visuals, I have Horizon.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes. Horizon, I think,
You want to explain that one?
well, yeah, I mean, the story's fantastic, obviously. I just went with other games for it. You know, there's other stories that are closer to my heart because they're more in your face. A Horizon story is a little subtle. If you're not paying attention, you'll just miss it. So for me, Horizon is just a beautiful game with a huge map, and it reminds me a lot of like I'm playing Far Cry Primal, and it's a lot like that, but the machines are so interestingly designed to be functioning machines that make sense in the universe, as well as look like the animal they're supposed to be, and they're all doing what they're supposed to be doing. Like there's one that grazes and that helps the grass, and the game's lore explains that, you know. So another thing I liked was the people. You know, we never really talked about that, but the people in Horizon are really interesting looking because they're all mixed races, you know, there's no racial differences, and it's a futuristic, what do you want to say, like, because they're civilized. What's the word?
Like the technology?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, old. Yeah, it's just crude technology. It's
Like
not very good.
a Stone Age.
Yeah, it's like Stone Age technology. Thank you. So they wear like pelts, they use spears and bows, and that's about it. So it's a really interesting clashing of worlds and shows how something like the Middle Ages could happen where humanity actually regresses as a population.
No, I agree. I do think the sort of, tribal aspect of the game I thought was really, really cool. Allowed, I think, a lot of cool kind of you said with the outfits and the different cultures. I did think that was a really cool aspect of the game as well. My runner up for favorite visuals is The Artful Escape. Now, as you said, the concept was very interesting, but to me, the thing that blew me away is just the visuals of the game, which, I mean, the game, I think, relies on its visuals, because for the most part, your gameplay is split up into either playing Simon or running while holding the square button, I think, and some basic, jumping. But the stuff that is in the background of you running and holding down the square button is some of the most unique backgrounds, environments, creatures I've ever seen in any game, and also just absolutely incredibly beautiful. I love it. I love staring at it. It's just so pretty to look at, it's just awesome. I love it. I honestly, I don't even know necessarily what to say about it. I just think it is great.
Yeah, you're gonna hate this, but I'm gonna say it reminds me of Rick and Morty.
I do hate it. Hold on. I just want to say, one, I do hate it. Two, you know what? That's fine. Now, I will say before we get into our winners for favorite visuals, we're first gonna take a quick commercial break, Noah.
What? And we're back.
And we're back
So,
from that commercial break as
yep.
we pick up with Noah's winner for favorite visuals.
So shut up.
Sorry.
Jaden, if you don't have this one, I might be surprised, but my winner for favorite visuals is actually Hades. I chose Hades because, first of all, I'm a little biased, I'll admit it. I do love anything that has to do with Greek mythology, and Hades is one of my favorite Greek gods. So, seeing, I'm pretty sure, a son who was created for the game have such a close, intimate relationship with Hades and his court as he's trying to escape the underworld, it's just one of the best concepts for a game since the original God of War for me. As far as how it looks, I mean, I love how Hades looks, I love how Zagreus looks, their outfits are regal and they all are colored how I imagine the underworld would be colored, if that makes sense. It's all darker tones, red, blacks, and grays. All the enemies are really cool. The environments, each different section of Hades, whether it be, oh Lord, Jaden, help me out with that one.
What's up?
The different sections of Hades, do you remember where they are?
Like the names of them all?
Yeah, just name two.
Tartarus.
Yes.
And
Is Tartarus the lava one?
Tartarus is the very first one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because you start from the bottom,
Yes.
Tartarus, and
But
I'm
yeah.
sorry, no, I'm sorry, I'm just blanking.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I think Hades just looks beautiful. I think the combat visuals are amazing. I think the character designs are great. Everything about it. Just think it looks so clean. It's my favorite rendition of Hades Underworld to this day.
Noah, prepare to be upset.
No.
I do like the look of Hades. It's fine. It is not my winner, my favorite visuals. My favorite is The Witness.
What in hell?
The Witness is one of those, like, I don't know if it was a launch title on PlayStation 4, but I think it was supposed to be, but then it didn't come out until a lot later. It's a puzzle game, and you could say it's first person walking around solving puzzles. It is an absolutely beautiful game. It is a game that I have absolutely since I because I did get the platinum in it, and since then I've gone back several times and just walked around and looked in it for like 10 minutes. It is just such a beautiful game. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I mean,
A
much
weirdo.
it's not, it's, dude. It's a beautiful game. It's so nice. I love looking at it.
It's okay.
It is beautiful. You're
We're
crazy. You're
jeez.
crazy man.
What's
Crazy
up
man.
next?
Crazy. See, crazy man. That's favorite visuals. You heard it from the Super Gamer Bros, The Witness and Hades. Now we move on to a favorite music. Obviously, the
Yay.
songs and game soundtrack. My favorite music. Right, you did visuals first. Yep. My runner up for favorite music is Deathloop. The music for Deathloop is awesome. It's super jazzy, which I love jazz. It is one of, I think, four games that I actually have like in my day-to-day, everyday playlist, songs in. Great songs. The music when you're being stealthy to when you go loud is, perfectly transitioned. It is just such a great, great soundtrack. I love the soundtrack to Deathloop.
I'm upset, son. So my runner-up is actually out of left field again. Why don't I feel like all of mine are out of left field? But I went with Taz Wanted.
Oh, you know what?
Taz, yeah, I mean, Taz Wanted is a game. I think when we played the game, or when we talked about the game, excuse me, we did talk about how much we love the music. And each level has its own soundtrack, and a few of them are just so iconic. Like, I will remember them till the day I die.
I have to absolutely agree with you on that. The soundtrack to Taz Wanted is awesome. I do love the soundtrack to Taz Wanted.
What's your winner?
My winner, Noah, is one of the other only four games that I have songs of in my playlist, Hotline Miami. The soundtrack to Hotline Miami is very techno and it just rocks. The songs are all so good that, just by the way Hotline Miami is, it's a hard game. And you will play on these levels and you will die 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 and you will on, say 5 minutes worth of a level, if you were to do it all in one run, you could spend over an hour on. And the same song is playing, looping the whole time for, it's, I don't think there are, I think a total of, I think, 18, 19 levels. There aren't 19 different tracks. I think they do repeat a few, but they all work so well and they're all so good that I don't care about all that repeating. I love it.
Interesting. Interesting. So my winner, which should not be a shock, is Deathloop. I actually brought this game to Jaden, and I first said, this game has an amazing soundtrack. One song which I specifically loved was not on Spotify along with the rest of the soundtrack, and now it is. I think it was put on by popular demand. People just love that song. The soundtrack to the whole game, like Jaden was saying, was phenomenal. Like, it's all very nicely done. It has that groovy spy feel to it, and it's really what gives the game its character, because you're spending most of your time just crouching around a map listening to the soundtrack while you're accomplishing your goals.
I mean, I already said my thing about Deathloop. It absolutely is an incredible soundtrack. Love it. Cool. Next, we're going to move on to our favorite VA performance, our favorite voice acting performance in, of these games. We'll go ahead, start with Noah
Okay, cool. So,
with your runner-up.
my runner up for VA performance is A Way Out.
Oh, interesting. Do you have a
Explanation?
no, I meant like a specific character.
Oh, no,
I
just
was
the two
doing
main characters.
I did specific characters for mine. I guess I should have specified that, but you can go ahead with this. Your two main characters.
Okay, I see what you're saying here. You went with like a specific voice actor.
Correct.
Dumbass.
Me
Yeah,
or you?
so I
Why?
went with, because only games were listed, you gotta list voice actors if you're gonna do
Well, I thought you would.
that.
I will admit I should have probably explained that. I'll go ahead and I'll
Listen.
say that's my bad. But a
Oh
way
yeah,
out.
so Way Out. Yeah, that is a game that is, what's the name of the company? I wanna say,
Oh dear.
is it Supergiant?
Haze Light.
Hazelight. What is Supergiant?
Supergiant is Hades.
Okay, right. Okay, so maybe that's why I had it on my mind. Anyway, A Way Out is a game that is co-op only and one of the most cinematic gaming experiences I've ever seen. It's kind of like almost feels like a Telltale Heavy Rain type of thing, but you go through the game as it's introduced as two prisoners who escape together and you're helping each other along this story. And the story is fantastic, and it has a spin at the end that I never saw coming and ended in horrible tragedy in our game. But my issue with the game has to do with the other things, not the voice acting. The voice acting is what builds everything. I mean, the two main characters just portrayed their emotions so well, all the way to the end. And most of the side characters were pretty good, especially the ones who were closer to the main cast. But even like you would bump into a house of an old couple or something like that, and they had really well voiced dialogue as well. So it was a memorable performance for me, and that's why A Way Out stands out from their games to me. It's still my favorite above It Takes Two.
Interesting. I have to say, I think a rare moment where we disagree here. I do not like the voice acting of A Way Out.
You got balls, son.
I think it's like the story is good, yes, 100%. But I think the voice acting is like it, so many times where it's just awkward and weird. Like I listen to the other one say a line, and I just think to myself, was that really the best take of that line? Because it's just it awkwardly it delivered. It felt like, yeah. I mean, I would say probably 70% of the time it's fine. But there's certainly enough times where I'm like, I just that is that was that that was weird, man. That was weird. Let's try to move past that. And I feel like the voice acting is what's responsible for those moments.
I did not notice anything like that.
Anyway, my runner-up, again, I did specific performances by specific people, so
Yeah,
won't
that's true.
necessarily match up with you. My runner-up, Mark Hamill as the Joker in Batman Arkham Knight. Absolutely have some bias with this one, because the Joker is my favorite character. Mark Hamill is my favorite portrayal of the Joker. I mean, it's Mark Hamill as the Joker. I honestly don't think I really need to say much more. It's a very, very well done performance. And I do think the Joker in Arkham Knight is one of the most interesting appearances of the character, and it has just performed very well. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, having him be like a mental demon for Batman throughout the whole game was really interesting. And Mark obviously did an excellent job on the lines. Can't fault him. Yeah, you went with a smash hit there. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So Noah, who is your winner for a favorite VA performance or your game, I suppose?
Right, so I picked a game with the best VA performance overall, and or to me, I read this as like the category where voice acting performance or how the lines were read and the dialogue is what made the game. So for me, it has to be the la or Outlast.
Okay. Why don't you just explain this one?
Yeah, no problem. Outlast is probably the most terrifying game I've ever played. I have played a lot of scary games. Outlast is just really well done in its design. But it's the dialogue that sells it. I mean, the main characters' lines, as well as all the named characters and unnamed characters who just have throwaway lines, they're terrifying. They just, you're in the insane asylum, so everything they say doesn't make any sense. And it's all screaming or hushed, and it's as creepy as it could possibly be. I just thought the VA performances were really, really well done. In Outlast.
I will say I absolutely considered Outlast for several of these awards, including thinking about it in terms of the best VA performance. I think if I did the award as an ensemble award, instead of a specific person, it absolutely would have gotten my winner or runner up. But yeah, I like because I just couldn't pick one specific voice that person that stood out above anyone else in Outlast.
Yeah, I get that.
But it is very, very well performed. My winner for favorite VA performance, Ozioma Akaga, voice of Juliana Blake in Deathloop.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah. Obviously Deathloop, you have the two main characters of Juliana and Colt, and I think Juliana, she is such an entertaining character. She is funny, she is witty, she is awesome. One of my favorite characters in video games, period. And I absolutely think a very, very large part of that is the incredible performance. Very, very well done. Nominated for, best performance at the Video Game Awards 2021. Did not win, something that we both were lamenting about when
Irate.
we did our reaction episode. Yeah, very, very good performance. I had to give it to her. It was
Yeah,
awesome.
I would have chosen Deathloop, but Deathloop had music.
Yeah.
Because you're right, both Colt and Juliana are extremely charming, memorable characters who just read so real. You know, their lines are very down to earth. It seems natural, and you just believe every conversation they have. Well done. What is the next one? I think I'm really
Oh,
excited for
our
this one.
next award, favorite protagonist.
Yay.
So, a favorite protagonist, I think I start this one. Yeah, I start this one. Leading up, kind of rehashing here, Colt Vonn from Deathloop is my runner up. He's just awesome. He again, very much like Juliana, he is very witty, he's very funny, just such an interesting character to play as. And I again, like one of my favorite characters in any video game ever. I loved Colt. I loved playing as him. His comments as he was, you know, going about trying to complete his mission were awesome. Like you said, I think they are both very believable, real characters, and I absolutely love Colt.
Yeah, I really pray that they make Deathloop 2 or something and somehow continue Colt and Juliana's story. Because where I ended it, I mean, both endings are pretty open, honestly. Anywho,
Yeah.
my runner-up for protagonist is none other than Starkiller.
Well, you said
Star,
runner up.
yeah, runner-up. Starkiller. Yeah, you're surprised? So, what was I saying? Starkiller, yeah, he, has one of the best origin stories in Star Wars, in my opinion, in the sense that his father was a survivor of Order 66 who was hunted down by Darth Vader and found on Kashyyyk. And Darth Vader actually kills Starkiller's father, takes him as an apprentice, and keeps him secret from the Emperor. And then Starkiller becomes an assassin and basically goes out for Vader, killing Jedi until he proves himself strong enough. Then they try to take on the Emperor, but the Emperor discovers him, so Vader betrays him. Starkiller turns to the light side and ends up starting the rebellion that started all of Star Wars. So they make him, in the same story, he goes from a useless nobody who's disposable to somebody who is extremely influential to all of Star Wars.
Yeah, I actually like I'm very torn about Starkiller because I think he's very cool, but I also think he's kind of whiny, honestly. And that's something that really kind of prevented him from being a top one for me is there are just times playing that game that I'm like, man, just stop whining. Just I don't know.
His life was messed up, dude.
I mean, you're correct. You're correct. I'm not discounting that. Anyway, yeah, no, I get it. It does not surprise me that he is on your list. I actually did think that he would. I honestly thought he would be your winner. I'll admit I'm a bit surprised he's just the runner-up.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were surprised about.
My winner, favorite protagonist, Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney trilogy.
I am
As
surprised.
really, I just I, as Noah had said earlier when we talked about Ace Attorney, it is the Ace Attorney trilogy, one of my favorite games of all time. Absolutely loved it. So great, and I think Phoenix Wright is such an iconic character. I think they've made other Ace Attorney games where you do not play as Phoenix Wright, and I legitimately just have no interest in playing those.
Yeah.
Like we actually, you know, little fun fact, started playing, it's called, I think, Ace Attorney Chronicles, which are 10 different cases in different time periods where, you know, none of them are the characters of the original Ace Attorney trilogy. And we played like we were playing it for our YouTube channel, and we got maybe an hour into it, and we were just like, I just didn't care about any of these characters. I just really didn't. And it, I haven't played the game since we tried that one time because it's like, yeah, Phoenix Wright isn't there, you know. I just don't feel invested. You know, he is very much, you know, a character that defines his series, and I love that. I love him. He's great.
Yeah, they should have just kept making games with him.
Yeah. Noah,
Anywho, my
your winner.
winner. Yeah, my winner. I feel like this one should be pretty obvious too, is Kratos. Kratos, another man who has a somewhat tragic story and pulls himself up out of it. He actually literally pulls himself out of hell multiple times, but that's the thing.
Absolutely.
Kratos is the man who killed the God of War, took his position, and then killed the rest of the Olympian gods and destroyed all of Greece. The story of the original three God of Wars is really like revenge. It's crazy. Kratos is.
You can't say that word.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You can't say that word on my podcast.
Oh, okay. You can cut it. Bleep it.
Yeah.
So Kratos, he's not a good character in these games. He's not well rounded. He's not deep. He's mostly just angry and out for revenge, and that's his thing. I like Kratos for his backstory, what happened to him and how the gods tricked him and why he was out for revenge. And I liked how powerful he became when he started from nothing.
Yeah, I absolutely get what you're saying. It's funny, what you said is the exact reason why he did not end up getting either of the top spots for me, is in the original trilogy, there is no character development for him. There is, he's just angry and mad, and that's it. Which is, of the original God of War games, one of my only complaints is that he just is nothing but angry, and it's all about revenge, like you said. Like, if we were talking God of War 2018, which we talked about in our first year of the podcast, so was not up for these awards. He absolutely would have been the winner for me because they put so much character development in him in that game that it's instantly made him so much of a better protagonist. And yeah, that is what prevented him from being number one. Is in the original trilogy, I do think his nonstop, non-growing anger it is kind of annoying.
That's fair.
Anyway, now let's move on to our favorite antagonist. Noah, let's start with your runner-up.
My runner-up, I don't, I kind of wanted to stretch this one. I don't know if you're gonna like it so much, because I can't remember if they're actually an antagonist in this game or a playable character or how it works, but I'm going with Shao Kahn.
No, absolutely 1,000,000% that's allowed.
Okay, from MKDC.
Well, do you mean Dark Khan or Shao Kahn?
Shao Kahn. I'm
Ooh,
pretty sure they're,
I did.
aren't they separate characters also though?
You play it, you unlock them as separate
So he's
playable
in it.
characters, but they don't appear in the story. I'll allow it. I'll allow
Okay.
it because it's your runner-up.
It is my runner-up, and I chose him because I wanted to squeeze MK versus DC into this list so I could talk about it.
Okay.
But
Okay, I
mostly
guess.
I just wanted to talk about Shao Kahn.
Yeah.
Shao Kahn has always been my favorite Mortal Kombat villain. Right now, he's actually tied with Onaga. I want Onaga to come back. It's been too long. But Shao Kahn, he has come back multiple times. You know, they can't keep him out of the story of Mortal Kombat for long because they use him as this like all-powerful, pure evil conqueror that doesn't care about anybody else and just does evil stuff for no reason. That apart, he's become deeper as a character in recent Mortal Kombat stuff because they make his relationship with the others in Outworld, like they have rebellions and it's more political. I just think that Shao Kahn with his massive hammer and crazy look is one of the coolest villains in gaming history.
Yeah, 100%. One of the most iconic video game villains of all time, I would say. Can't
Yeah, that's true.
I like you can't talk about video game antagonists without bringing up Shao Kahn, I think.
You're gonna
My
laugh at my pick for favorite.
I don't know, maybe I will. My runner up is I don't know how you feel about this one, Noah. Manfred von Karma from Ace Attorney Trilogy. So obviously the trilogy is three games, and there are, kind of three final antagonists in each one. I think the fourth episode of the first game, you go up against, like 40-year career, never lost, practically controls the court system himself, Manfred von Karma. I thought he was built up so well as this insurmountable obstacle in your way, and just that whole trial is when I thought, okay, this game, this series is really something special with how well that final case is handled. And I think a lot of that comes down to Von Karma being such an iconic, interesting adversary in the courtroom.
He is. He's also used as the key to make Edgeworth more personable. Because
Correct.
it's like,
Yeah.
look at this dude who's like 30 times worse than Edgeworth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good choice. Yeah, I don't question
Yeah.
that one at all.
Yeah, Manfred von Karma, man.
Are you ready for mine?
I am.
My favorite antagonist in the games listed is none other than Nasty Nork.
I love it. I love it.
You do you like that?
I spent a lot of time debating if one of the three Spyro villains would be in my antagonist list. I would say if we did like a top three, I absolutely would put one of them in there. But yeah, no, I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah,
I am
I
surprised you
will
picked
tell you.
Nork over Ripto.
I will tell you why. I will tell you why.
Okay.
Out of all the villains, the other villains didn't stick with me, even though they were voiced and they were more present in the story and in the games than Nasty Nork was. Just his name is funny to me. The way he looked was memorable, and his actual battle. I was just laughing for like 5 minutes straight. That he just runs in a circle and you have to catch him. And I was like, this is Nasty Nork. He's nasty. And I'm just going off the whole time and it's nothing. He's just nothing. So I think he's ironic. And I'm glad they stepped it up in the later games.
Okay.
But he's fun. I like him.
Okay. I get okay. I guess okay. Okay. My winner, Noah, I think this is one you will heavily agree with. I imagine honestly if you allowed yourself to repeat games, probably would have been your winner, Ares from God of War 2005. I mean, he's the God of War. The game is named after him. You know, his whole like betrayal of Kratos, mentioning, Kratos' great backstory. The boss fight itself is very cool. I mean, he's awesome, I think. Just super iconic, very, very cool villain.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Ares was sweet. His boss fight was, I mean, like, you can't ask for more. He was a giant version of himself. He was terrifying. It was all powerful. And their version of Ares was, in my opinion, true to the myth. He was an asshole.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pick.
Thank you. Now we move on. Favorite story. My runner-up is Horizon Zero Dawn. I think it kind of ties in with the lore aspect of the game. I love the story. I thought it was great. You know, having to prevent the end of the world, as Aloy. Covering everything about who she is, where she comes from. Yeah, I mean, it, just everything. I absolutely love the story of that game.
Yeah, well said. It also, yeah, like you were saying, she's discovering everything and she knows how to save the world and she has to work with these people who don't understand technology and that stuff, and it's really cool. And like I said, it's complete, which I like about stories. So my runner-up is a Plague's Tale: Innocence. I picked a Plague's Tale because it was the story of the game that made it for me. I mean, it has puzzle and combat mechanics. But I kind of felt like the gameplay was a bit of a drudge at times, and I just kept going because I wanted to find out what happened. Where do these characters go? What's going to happen to this group that we formed? And I can't wait to play the next game. I mean, it's the same thing. I'm still interested to hear what happens to the characters.
Yeah, absolutely get what you're saying. My winner for favorite story, Noah. I'm really hoping, obviously don't comment, that this is maybe the first one that we agree on. My winner, Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. I loved Hellblade. It barely missed out on getting an interesting concept nod because the concept with the whole what like her, identity disorder, all the voices in her head. Very, very cool. And just the story of this game, trying to save, bring her lover's soul back to life, and journeying through the Norse hell, and doing it, just awesome, just such an awesome story. I absolutely loved it.
No, you're right. That game is amazing in terms of its story and its concept, but it is not the one I picked.
What did you pick?
I picked none other than Mad Max. I know you don't like it, but I love Mad Max's story. I mean,
I 1,000,000% not surprised with this one.
yeah, but it is about Max who starts out driving in the wasteland with nothing. but his car. And then he gets attacked and he loses everything. And then he takes over an entire region, kills the people who attacked him in the first place, gets another car, and drives off into the sunset of the wasteland again. I thought the story beautifully exemplified what Mad Max is about, which is that you can't have connections in this world because everything just goes wrong. So he just keeps moving. He's a drifter. That's Mad Max. And I think the game story is just perfect, even if some other people are critical.
I mean, yeah, I just didn't like the ending. I thought the story was cool for the most part. I just did not like how the game ended. 100% not surprised that's your pick, though. Yeah, I mean, that's Mad Max, man.
Up
Cool.
next.
And then, and up next, we'll do our favorite indie game after this commercial break. And we're back. Now it's time for the Indie Bit Fave Award.
Yay.
Yeah, and this is the bit where we talk about our favorite indie game, right? That's, I think it's you first. Yeah,
Okay.
it's you first.
So my
What is your
runner-up
runner-up, Noah?
is gonna be Bugsnax. Jaden mentioned it earlier, and Bugsnax is just a hilarious game. He mentioned the Muppet characters. What he did not mention is that I don't know if you paid much attention to the story or whatnot, but I paid a little bit, and it is like comedically serious in its nature, and it just makes fun of itself and society a lot. I also love the actual mechanic of catching the bugs. You set traps and those type of things, like one's like a net, another's like a trip wire, those kind of things. I would like a sequel probably where these are deeper mechanics, but other than that, it's a great game.
Well, yeah, I didn't mention the story earlier just because we weren't talking about stories, but I do think the story of Bugsnax is absolutely incredible. And I admit, to me, I think the weakest part of the game is the gameplay. It's just very basic, and I felt it got a little repetitive after
It
you
had
know doing it for
potential.
so long. It has great potential. I just think it could have been deeper. My runner-up, Noah, is Guacamelee.
Ooh, that is a good one.
I mean, you know, it's got platforming, a bit of puzzle solving, the combat fighting mechanic of the game, you know, like 2D beat 'em up. Absolutely an incredible game. Love it. Everything from the story to the gameplay is awesome.
Yeah, I want to play the sequel. We'll have to talk about it and do it on the
Yeah,
indie bit.
absolutely we do, yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that is a good game, but not as good as my winner, which is Overcooked. Overcooked and Overcooked 2, I have played a ridiculous amount of, actually. Me and my partner are quite fond of the game, and sometimes I will play it more competitively. I have played the versus mode before in like a party setting, and I think that it's really fun too. Although, you know, you have to understand how to play the game, and we would dice people because we're experts. But, and that is a pun for the game, obviously. But,
It was good. It was good.
thank you. It is one of my favorite indie games of all time. And if they ever came out with a third one, I would get that one.
Overcooked is fine. I think it's a little too
Boo
high
you.
stress, a little too high stress for Haley. You know, we played it, and I feel
That's
like
because you're stressing her. You're like, we gotta get 3 stars. No, that's
shut up,
why,
shut up.
yeah,
Too high
I'm like,
stress.
we just play for
Too high
fun.
stress. No, you don't interrupt. No, it's my turn to talk. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. My winner, Shovel Knight. My God, do I love Shovel Knight?
That pick was pretty obvious.
Yeah, I absolutely fell in love with Shovel Knight. It was a game I had wanted for years, wanted to play for years, and you know, we finally got it, and boy, did it live up. It was fun. You know, I love those 8-bit platforming, combat-ish style games. Absolutely loved it. I perfected it. I played through the game like 4 times. Absolutely incredible game. One of my favorites.
It's a fun game. I played it once. It's fine.
Yeah, that has been the indie bit, our favorite indie games. I will admit, I did not expect you to pick Overcooked. Bugsnax, I expected that to be one of your games. I didn't think Overcooked would be up there at all.
Did you think something?
No, I didn't know what you were gonna pick. I absolutely did not expect it to be Overcooked.
No, it's a great game.
Mm.
I spent a lot of
Anyway,
money on it, and I'd spend
yeah,
a lot more.
that's fair. That's fair. That's what it's about, isn't it? Now, this is kind of the big one, I guess you could say. So for this one, we did different than all the other ones. Our top five favorite games, and also, we'll kind of just list the top five for each person and then react to it because I think it'll be too long to react to each game one at a time. I'll say, Noah, this sucked. I hated picking my top five.
It was easy picking the top five. It was hard putting them in order.
I would say not even that. I think how I did this was I just typed a list. Like, I looked at the original list of all games we talked about, and any game that I thought, oh yeah, definitely could be this one, I put all of them into a list and still had like 15 games, and narrowing it down to just five, and then narrowing it down to five, like which one I liked more than the others. It was an awful time.
All right, so let's hear.
Yeah. Who's going first?
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. So start off, number five, Shovel Knight. Number four, Mad Max. Number three, Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. Number two, Deathloop. And number one, Ace Attorney Trilogy.
Wow, that's a great list. I'm shocked that Mad Max made it on your top five.
I mean, here's the thing, though. You tried to get me to play Mad Max for years. Gameplay-wise, game's awesome.
That's what I said.
It is, like the driving. I think the car combat could be a little better, but the driving mechanic in itself is very, very, very good. And the combat for the game is just awesome. As I said when we talked about it, I didn't know what it meant for a game to feel weighty, which is something that I had heard people talk about previously until I played Mad Max. You feel every single punch, just everything. And I mean, yeah, just gameplay wise, I got every trophy that it is possible to get because there is one trophy that is not unlockable. So you cannot perfect the game, but I literally got every trophy it is possible to get. I absolutely loved the gameplay, and the only like I loved the first 75% of the story. It's just the last quarter that I was like, oh, okay, I don't like this. I don't like it. I don't like this direction it went in.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely great, great game. I
Ace
yeah,
Attorney at number one, huh?
I just loved it. It was awesome.
It's fantastic. I wish I could erase my memory and play it again.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's absolutely how I feel about it. That's the one thing that, because thinking of different areas to look at these games to narrow it down to top five, the one thing that really almost knocked Ace Attorney out of the number one spot to me was it was so good, and it'll never be that good again because, it is a puzzle game, and I've already, solving the puzzles the first time, like, there is no, solving the puzzles for the first time again. Because even if I waited 50 years to play this
Yeah, the
game
beauties and the
again,
surprise of the cases.
even if I wait, 50 years to play this game again, it'll come back to me as I'm playing it, and it's not something you can experience for the first time again, which sucks. But yeah, that is my top five.
What a list, what a list.
What a
Okay,
list, man.
I'll go with mine.
Okay.
I think we actually have Mad Max in the same spot, so that's funny. But my number five is God of War. My number four is Mad Max. My number three is Pokemon. My number two is MK versus DC. And my number one is Deathloop.
Okay. I like how, funny enough, Mad Max is the only game where we actually listed in the same spot for any of them.
Yeah, for
It's
everything on this list.
our only
Until we
repeat. I
talk
like
about
that.
most anticipated, actually.
Oh, probably, yeah. Mad Max, you said your number three was Pokemon?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, I've played through Pokemon Fire Red probably like 10 times.
No, I can, it's definitely
I
up there.
because I was real, we were both really into Pokemon at one point in time, and I was playing ROM hacks. I was doing Pokemon challenges on the Game Boy. I played through the entire Pokemon Fire Red with only Blastoise, and I just loved that game. I know everything about it.
I get you.
MK versus DC was just above that because it combines two of my favorite universes, and I'll never see that
I
again,
mean,
you know.
I am just, I will say that shocks me, that this was on your top five.
MK.
Yeah, I was not expect like
I mean, it's
it
not
does
a
have the
great
Mortal
fighting
Kombat
game
versus
in any
DC,
sense
you
of the
know.
word, but the story was really fun. I just like seeing them all together. It was really just the feeling of it all for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's definitely a lot of personal bias in that one.
Well, yeah, there's personal bias in all of them.
I
It's
mean,
not
you're
a
correct. No, you're correct.
Yeah, that I'm beginning.
No, you're right. I just did not.
It's just my second favorite on this list.
Yeah, I would not have expected that. There are so many.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many awesome games
Well,
on
you
this.
know, what
Like
I
I
liked
said,
about
narrowing
it
it down
too.
for my top five was absolute hell. I just did not expect MK versus DC.
Yeah, MK versus DC was also the first Mortal Kombat to have that type of story mode that was like more focused on the
That is
cinematic
correct. That
aspect.
is correct.
And that's really what I loved. And they continued it, and I've continued to love every NetherRealm game since.
I
And then
also will say
Deathloop, you
I'm
know,
I
like I
am
said, I would pay triple for a Deathloop sequel right now.
absolutely. I will say I'm surprised. I thought Mad Max would be your number one, but I guess I'm also less surprised. I thought Deathloop would be right below Mad Max, so I did think Deathloop was going to be your number two, so not too far
That
off
one
with
was
that one.
close.
Yeah, that's a good
But yeah,
list.
still, like, I still think about Deathloop, you know?
That is a good list. Yeah, I know. I like that. I like that list. I
All
am.
right.
I will say. I'm also surprised. Just quick. I am surprised that you had God of War. I didn't think you were a big fan of the original God of War series as much.
Are
Like I
you
know.
serious? It's
Yeah. I mean, I
the
know we
original
both
God
love
of
the new
War.
one.
It's the one where you kill Ares.
I mean, I know, but just
Yeah,
like,
but
I
we
just
both
didn't
love the
think.
new one, and we love it
You're
more than
correct.
the old ones because
You're
it's
correct.
better, like
Yes.
unequivocally. That's
Correct.
true.
Yep.
But before that one came out, we were avid fans of the old ones, and I
Yeah,
have
I don't
not
know.
let
I
that
guess,
go.
yeah, I guess I just never thought you were as into it as I am. But it, I mean, I have no problem being
No, I
wrong.
loved it. You just,
I
I
mean,
just never replayed it.
that's true. That's true. I did replay
You
that series a
perfected it,
lot.
yeah.
I never perfected, but I replayed them a lot.
Oh.
That was before I was into trophies. Anyway, so that is our kind of that's the Super Gamer Bros top games of that we talked about this year. Favorite games. Now we're going to go ahead. This is kind of the We start looking forward into the future of the podcast. And we'll start with we have two more awards. First, our most anticipated game. Noah, what is your runner-up for most anticipated game?
All right, so just to be clear, these are most anticipated games coming out in the future.
Yes.
Okay.
They don't have to come out
Not
next
like
year,
most
just
anticipated games we're going to talk about.
Just games coming out. They don't have
Right,
to be games we
right,
talk.
right. Okay.
I assume we will talk about these, but just games
Oh,
that are
for
coming out.
sure. We're going to talk
Yes.
about the two I'm talking about.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say if we recorded this a week ago, Gotham Knights would have been on my list. But as of now, it's out. And I'm loving it, so I just want to throw an endorsement for all those people who read the mixed reviews. Don't believe that. It's actually a really fun game, especially if you're a fan of the Bat family. So
Gotcha.
I'll just say that. It does have its quirks, of course, though. It's no Arkham, but we're not comparing that. My runner-up for most anticipated game is Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. It is my runner-up because it is still a long way away. It's slated for next year. Honestly, I kind of expected to be pushed back to the following year, but I'm really looking forward to it because it's on paper, you know, everything they've said about it, I've read about it. It sounds like it would be what I wanted Gotham Knights to be,
I see.
which I wanted Gotham Knights to be basically Gotham split into boroughs controlled by different villains that you work to progress to taking down that villain. That's what I wanted kind of Gotham Knights to have, but that's obviously really specific. Suicide Squad has that, but you're playing as the villains going after the Justice League. And to
Yeah.
me, that's even better.
Yeah, it's
That's
certainly
way
an
more
awesome
fun.
twist.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely excited. Because that game is so far out, I did not include it, I guess. My two games both had definitive release dates.
That's fair.
Starting with my runner-up, Hogwarts Legacy.
I almost picked it.
Yeah, like I would not consider myself a big Harry Potter fan. The series itself is, I think, like it's fine. I've read it multiple times, growing up. And it's like it's fine. The thing that I love about Harry Potter is the world. Again, talk about lore. It is just so awesome, and that is my favorite thing about that series. And so the fact that, you know, you're playing a game like hundreds of years before the Harry Potter series take place, you're in Hogwarts, all this stuff, I'm super, super excited about it. The only thing that really even puts it to me as runner up is I think the game is going to be good. I'm 90% sure the game is going to be good, but it could be bad, you know, and I don't like having that uncertainty.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, but I just can't wait either. Like, the gameplay looks phenomenal, and what they say about the choices in the story sound really cool. I do believe you can use all the unforgivable curses. I plan on being a evil Slytherin and then a good Ravenclaw.
Gotcha. Yeah, so Noah, what is your most anticipated game?
My most anticipated game, I've been anticipating this game since I finished the last one. Which, of course, is God of War Ragnarok.
All right, I'll go ahead and interrupt you here. My most anticipated game is also God of War Ragnarok.
Okay, that's fair. Well, as of right now, it comes out in like less than 2 weeks.
It's a bit over 2 weeks. Actually, no,
Oh, is
from
it?
the release date of it is exactly 2 weeks from the release date of this episode.
Okay. Yeah, so as of this episode, it's 2 weeks away. That is close, and I am just brimming with excitement.
Yeah, oh, sorry. No, actually, I guess it's less than 2 weeks because it comes out on Tuesday, not Wednesday. This episode's coming out on a Wednesday. I'm confusing myself. It is, yeah. I mean, God of War 2018, one of my favorite games of all time, was actually voted the best game of all time by like an IGN Twitter poll or something.
I saw that I voted.
Yes, so did I. It's just, I just can't wait. I'm just so excited for it. And this
Well,
kind of what I said, I think like something that bumps it above Hogwarts Legacy is the fact that Hogwarts Legacy, I don't know if it'll be good. God of War, oh yeah, it's going to be good.
it is going to be good. We know that. What I'm excited about is to have all the questions answered that were left hanging from the last game,
Oh, absolutely.
as well as to see, we know for a fact that this is going to end the Norse series, so
Yeah.
something is going to happen, and Kratos and Atreus are going to pack up their bags and head to Egypt or something.
Absolutely.
So,
I am so excited. I cannot wait.
exactly.
I just cannot wait for this game. It is, I'm just so excited.
Yeah, and I've seen clips of gameplay, you know, and like spoiler stuff, and I don't want to see that, so I've had to stay off the internet since Gotham Knights was coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, huge God of War fans in the house here. Now we move on to this one. I like this award I came up with, Noah. It's the Play the Game Already award. So obviously there are a lot of games that Noah has played that I have not, and there are games that I have played that Noah has not. So this award is basically within the next year, a game you want, so a game I want Noah to play and a game Noah wants me to play, basically, you know, so we can talk about on the podcast is my thought process behind it. And specifically, you know, if we don't talk about these games within the next year at our next award show, we'll do a checkup to see if Noah actually played the game I wanted yet, and if I have played the game Noah wanted yet. So, Noah, what is your Play the Game Already award winner?
Okay, you don't want to runner up. So
No,
yes.
I think just one for this.
Okay, so I was actually going to do two because it's kind of a tricky situation, but mine is going to be Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice.
I will tell
And
you, I 100% expected that.
oh, really? Okay. And if that's too hard, we'll flip it to Elden Ring because I can carry you through that one.
That's fair. That's fair. If it wasn't for the fact that I played Mad Max, I would have expected Mad
Honestly,
Max,
I think you're just
but
afraid of it.
I mean, it's just long, right? Like that's the thing that
It's really not.
puts me at odds with it is I
It's not long. That's the
like
thing. It's actually a
yeah.
pretty short game. It's just long the very first time you go through it because you have to learn how to do everything. But
I mean,
if you are like,
you make that argument with a lot of games.
but I mean,
No,
if
I
you're
mean
following a guide, you could beat it really fast too, the
I
very first
suppose.
time. You know what I mean?
I don't do that. No, I think, I mean, both of those games, you've been talking to me about both of them for a long time, so I want to, I really do. It's just, yeah, I just, every time I'm like, okay, I finished whatever game I was playing, let me pick the next game, and I'm like,
You have a
well, I could
long
play
back
Sekiro, but
catalog
it's
and a
long, yeah,
lot less time to play.
yeah, pretty much, yeah. But I will try to get Sekiro in the next year. I will try. And then, for my game, no, this is probably gonna be, I'll be honest, very hard for me to pick because, as you said, you've played a lot more games than I have, but Jack and Daxter.
Ah, damn.
So let's, you know, to everyone, you know, gaming history, there are what I've always thought were the three big PlayStation 2 mascot
The big
trilogies,
three.
the big three, Ratchet and Clank, which both of us have played a lot. Sly Cooper, which Noah, you actually in the past year or so played through
I
the
have
PS2
played
Sly Cooper
through.
trilogy. I have not played that one yet. I will probably play it pretty soon. And then Jak and Daxter, which last year I actually played through, and I at least the first game I want you to play through so we can talk about at the very least the first, because I am super into gaming history, and I feel like anytime there's old games like that that I have not played, especially in regards to like PlayStation exclusives, because we are such big PlayStation people, I want to play them. And I want you to play Jak and Daxter so we can talk about it, because I think it is a very iconic game. Naughty Dog, who made Uncharted, Last of Us, huge video game developer. I think Jak and Daxter, specifically the second game in the series, is where they really started focusing on more complex storytelling in games. And I think it's really cool as someone who has played Crash Bandicoot on the PlayStation 1 and their future games, seeing that, oh, this is where they're starting to get into stories now. I can see they're starting to get more serious into that.
Well, I did try to play the first one a while ago, and I stopped playing it because I just didn't have the interest. But maybe with this motivation, I've got the kick in the pants I need, and I'll be able to get through the whole trilogy.
I don't think so.
Wow.
But it's
Love
just
that
funny because
confidence.
I
If I
honestly
can't get through
like,
Jak and Daxter, how are you going to get through Sekiro?
I'm not saying because it's hard. I just playing through it when I did, I was like, oh, I can't wait till Noah plays this, and then we can talk about it on the podcast. But as I'm playing it, I'm like, I just don't think Noah will be into this. It certainly, I'll say, took a bit of grit for me to get through, because if we talk about the games in detail, I could share more stories about it. But yeah, anyway, Jak and Daxter. Yeah, and that's the Play the Game Already award. I like that one.
All right, this was pretty successful.
So that's the inaugural first ever SGB Awards, also known as SGB Awards Year 2, because it's for the second year of the podcast. That's not going to confuse anybody. Yeah, I think it's cool. Like, I had an idea of doing something like this before we even hit our first year anniversary, but we both felt like we weren't big enough to do that after just our first year, which I don't necessarily think we're big now, but it was something that I thought after 2 years I really wanted to do it. And I thought it was fun. I think
Yeah,
I
I
love
get.
how we do like all these games, but we did only two awards repeated, and one of them was a game we haven't played. And the other was in our top five, which actually was surprising to me.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but to me it was like I wanted to wait because I felt like award shows are kind of like a tacky thing maybe. But I then it was like it's only tacky if we're copying everybody else's award shows, but ours are our categories, it's our picks, it's what we like,
Yeah,
you know, blah, blah,
I
blah.
also
It was a
really
lot of
liked the
fun.
con yeah, I also really liked the concept of having Taz Wanted go up against Pokemon, go up against Horizon Zero Dawn, go up against Mad Max, like all these just completely different games from completely different periods of gaming history and stuff
Yeah.
up against each other. I thought that was really cool as well. Anyway, yeah, so also, very quick, I just want to go over the Super Gamer Bros year in review. We did this last year a bit. We're just talk about so Noah, we talked about 54 different games this year. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot. 54 different games. More than we talked about in our first year, which puts our total games we've talked about at 105. That's a lot of games.
That is a lot of games.
That's a lot of games, and hopefully we'll at least get another 50 or so we can get another year done. But yeah, that is our total number of games we've talked about. And also, our total downloads this year, we had, as of, I'll say, we were recording this on October 22nd. So technically, 4 days shy of a year for me to use that measurement. It will, I guess, be higher by the time we actually hit a year. But as of now, 2,415 downloads in our second year of podcasting,
Yay.
which at the end of our first year, we had roughly 800. I don't even think 800 total. So it's really cool to see how much bigger it got just a second year. I think that's really awesome.
That is really cool.
Yeah, it puts our total downloads at 3,162, which yeah, I mean, it's just awesome. knowing that, you know, any amount of people really like listening to us talk about games, and I hope just share the same nerdy passion for games that we have, because I mean, video games are something that, you know, we could talk about forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's our passion. It's what we love to do in our free time. You know, if we have nothing else to do, we're going to play video games.
And then, you know, obviously, just want to take a moment to thank everybody who has ever listened to any amount of our podcast. Because I think I even said, I don't know, either it was the first episode, maybe at a year, that if we were getting one download an episode, I still think it would be worth this to do. But the fact that, you know, at least, you know, 3,000 times someone actually downloaded our podcast and listened to any amount of it is just awesome and really makes it feel like we're doing something cool here with our podcast, you know, as we have now done it for 2 years, and thinking about how different it is from episode one to how we do it now, I think it's just awesome. You know, 2 years, man, go us.
Well, it's been a good time.
So now we'll go ahead and wrap it up. So don't forget, new episodes every other Monday except this episode, which is up on a Wednesday. And actually, our next episode will not be up on a Monday either. This episode is technically 2 days late. Our next episode will actually be 3 days early. It will go up on Friday, November 4th. And if you can guess why it is going up on that very specific day, and potentially even guess what game we are talking about because of it, then super props to you.
Yeah, especially because I have no idea.
Noah, I know. Noah doesn't know. I've told him, he just forgot. Yeah, so our next episode will be up Friday, November 4th, so it'll be 3 days early. You know, so rate and subscribe. Tell us if you like our show, or tell us if you don't, and yeah, tell us why. Tell your friends and enemies about the podcast. And you can follow our Instagram, The Super Gamer Bros, for updates on everything we do. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, Super Gamer Bros. That is one word, capital S, capital G, capital B, period at the end, where we upload videos every Friday. Our most recent two videos being part seven of our Mortal Kombat X playthrough and part seven of our Crash Bandicoot playthrough, where might be my favorite video we've ever recorded, where I am trying to get the red gem in Slippery Climb, one of the hardest levels in the original Crash Bandicoot game. It
It was
sucked.
quite a job well done, honestly.
It sucked to record, but I do think it's very fun to watch. So, you know, go check those out if you want to see us play games. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next game.
Bye.